author of the week, ABC Books, North Glenstone, just over there Tuesday, I think it was, visiting with Valerie. She is a friend of mine. She's a fantastic gal, owner of ABC Books. It is just south of Kearney. It's by Fazoli's and Andy's Frozen Custard. So any author of the week books that we have, of course, we keep them archived and the author interviews at KSGF.com. But you can always go in and find them. And if for whatever reason they happen to be out, she will make sure to get that ordered. And every so often, one of the great things about ABC Books is that they do book signings and so forth. And we always like to have those authors on so that not only do you have an opportunity to buy the book, but meet the author after hearing the author. And that is such the case with Larry Wood, author of Bigamy and Bloodshed. And I want to thank you for being with us this morning. Now, when's the book signing?
The book signing is this coming Saturday, October 26th, at, like you said, ABC Books. They're at 2109 North Glenstone.
What time?
From 1 to 3, Saturday afternoon, yeah.
All right, so this book, I like, it's history, it's scandal. Tell us a little bit about it, if you would.
Well, the 1915 Greene County history by Fairbanks and Tuck called it, recalled the preliminary hearing for the two women who were charged as accessories in the murder of Sarah Graham, called that preliminary hearing the most sensational procedure, legal procedure in the history of Greene County. Of course, that's been 100 years ago, but I think that's probably still a fairly apt description. It's still probably one of, if not the most sensational, one of the most sensational. And what made it so sensational was that Emma Molloy, who was one of the women charged, was nationally known as a temperance revivalist, a very eloquent speaker. And like I say, she went all over the country campaigning against alcohol. And so a lot of people were kind of glad, you know, people, especially the liquor industry and her critics, you know, they were glad to see her kind of in trouble. So she got a lot of criticism for
right. Well, and all it would be, and I won't name any specific people, but if one would imagine someone that they think of as a nationally known, high profile evangelical preacher or somebody
right.
along those lines, being caught up in a murder, that's what happened.
Yeah, that's kind of what it was. To give you a little background on exactly what happened is she had made the acquaintance. She was one of the things she was in, as well as campaigning against alcohol and stuff, she was also into other causes. And one of the things she was into was prison reform. And she had made the acquaintance of this guy named George Graham while he was in prison in North Indiana prison, and kind of took him under her wing when he got out, and made him her manager of the anti-alcohol newspaper that she was putting out. And he ended up falling in love with her foster daughter and marrying her. And they knew that he had been previously married, but he lied to them and said that they had gotten a divorce when he'd been to prison more than one time. And he lied to them and said that they'd gotten a divorce after his first prison term. Well, that was true, but what he didn't tell him was that he remarried her after he got out. You know, he said that she had divorced him while he was in prison, and
yeah.
he remarried her, though, after he got out.
What was he in prison for that time?
He was in prison the first time for horse theft, oh. and then second time for forgery. But anyway, they ended up coming to Springfield, and George Graham, the ex-con, ended up marrying her foster daughter, and they took up residence on a farm between Brookline and Springfield. And then Sarah Graham, the first wife, heard about it, and she came from Fort Wayne, Indiana, where she was with her two kids, and was going to try to kick Cora out, you know, and reclaim her rightful place as his wife. And
this has Jerry Springer written all over it.
So he killed her they were approaching the farm and dumped her in a well there on the farm. And so the whole thing was that they didn't, you know, he confessed that he did the murder, but hardly anyone believed that he did it all by himself. You know, they thought that the women must have been in on it. And so they were, Cora, the daughter, was charged as an accessory before the fact. And Emma Molloy, who wasn't even present, you know, she was off on one of her evangelical crusades, so she wasn't even present, but she was charged for helping cover it up, supposedly. You know, she was charged as an accessory after the fact, and then their preliminary hearing, like I said, turned into a spectacle, and it was reported nationwide. And then right shortly after they were indicted, but shortly after that, then he was hanged. You know, he was lynched. They drug him out of the Springfield jail, which at that time was located on the square, and took him to near Grant, what's now Grant Beach, and then hanged him, lynched him. So it was a, you know, had several sensational elements.
Yeah, I guess so. So you said that when his wife was coming from Indiana, she had kids in tow. Is that right? Did I hear that right?
She had the kids with her, and
what happened with them?
Okay, they got to Springfield, and George, the father, made arrangements for them to stay in a boarding house, and said that he and their mother were going on out to Brookline, that he would come back and get them the next day. Well, he killed her, and he did come back to get them, and he lied to them like he did to everybody. You know, he was just a perpetual liar all the time. You know, he lied to his sons and told them that the mother had gone on to Pierce City or somewhere and was staying with a friend or relative down there or something. You know, but he always, every time he got caught in a lie, he always had another lie ready. You know, he was one of those
right.
kind.
So the belief that his new wife and her foster mother, Malloy, were involved in it in some capacity. I mean, was that based on anything other than people just couldn't believe they didn't know or they weren't involved in it? I mean, how did that come about?
Well, Mrs. Malloy did kind of protect George Graham at first, you know, but I kind of contend in my book that she was mainly protecting him from what she saw as kind of a rush to judgment. You know, he had her completely convinced that, you know, that he was going to reform and everything. And of course, that's what she was into. She was trying to reform people and all that, you know. And so she was very slow to realize that he really was a murderer and a scoundrel, you know. So she was protecting him at first. And so that kind of made it look like she might have been guilty, you know.
So that farm that all this happened, I mean, is that still a farm that, I mean, there's not, I'm getting a whereabouts in my mind that you talked about.
Okay, it's about 5 miles from down, 5 or 6 miles from downtown Springfield,
right.
About 3 miles from where Brookline, well, Brookline's still there, but
right.
It's not now part of Republic.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's on Old Sunshine Road. You know, like if you come out on 60, there's a little road that takes off on, it's called Sunshine Road. And it's about 2 to 3 miles after you turn off from 60 there on the Sunshine Road. And yes, the farm is still there. It's kind of amazing that it is, because all the houses around it are housing development.
But no kidding.
The farm is still pretty much intact. Yeah.
Huh. And I guess just owned by just whomever.
It recently sold. It was up for sale when I was researching and writing this. It was up for sale, but it's now in new. You know, I was thinking that maybe when it sold, they would develop it into housing development, but so far they haven't.
I wonder if the people, do you know if the people who live there know about this history?
I haven't talked to them. I talked to the previous owner when it was up for sale. I called him. You know, he thought I was calling to ask about buying it, but I was calling to ask him if he knew anything of the history about this, and he did not. You know, the previous owner said he didn't know it. You know?
That would be interesting. I mean, I think it would anyhow. Sometimes every so often people will find out, oh, someone died or was killed in this house. But to have, I mean, such a scandalous and nationally known and followed a situation like this, to find out that happened in your home or on your land, that would be kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah, I don't know for sure if the house is the exact, I don't
right.
know if it's the same house. It may just be, but it is in the same location, you know. And the lay of the land is still the same. You know, they describe how the abandoned well that she was dropped in was down at the, kind of in a valley, and that valley's still there, you know. So,
you know, and I find interest or curiosity in sort of weird incidental things, but I'm wondering, as you mentioned, obviously his wife found out that while she was living all the way up in Indiana, you said, is that right? And he's here.
Yeah.
The
whole family, I mean, both families had lived together for a while in Washington, Kansas, which is up northwest of Topeka, 50 miles or so. But the Grahams and the Malloys had all lived together because, you know, like I said, he was working for Emma Malloy.
Okay.
And so he brought Sarah and the two kids there to Washington, and they were all living in the same house together for 6-8 months or so, you know, before. But then Sarah and George had a falling out, and she went back to Fort Wayne and took the kids. And so,
I wonder how is it he gets out of prison and then he gets married while he's still, and she, you mentioned she finds this out. It always interests me how back then, not only before Facebook, but before really any form of fast communication, so that sort of thing gets back to her.
I think someone, and it may have been Emma Malloy, or it may have been Cora herself or something, sent a letter to her, you know, told her what, because she said they didn't know
women.
What it was a legitimate marriage, you know, because they thought that Sarah and George were divorced.
Oh, got it. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, that guy really wove himself some webs there to get caught up in.
Yeah. And, you know, that's why a lot of people didn't understand at the time, but he had been a scoundrel since he was just a teenager. You know, he was in trouble in Fort Wayne. I went back and researched old newspapers and some of the old Fort Wayne newspapers, you know, 10 years or more before this ever happened. He was prominent in some of the Fort Wayne newspapers, you know, mentioned trouble he'd been in here. You know, so, yeah.
Huh. Very interesting. Well, I mean, this is, it's got the local component to it, obviously, and very specific areas. And, of course, just the scandal of it all makes for a very interesting read. And Larry Wood, our author of the week, he will be again at ABC Books this Saturday. What time did you say?
From 1 to 3 p.m.
Okay. 1 to 3 p.m. doing a book signing. So I encourage people to stop by, pick one up, and meet Larry Wood. Thanks for being with us this morning. Really appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Dick. Thanks for having me.
All right, you bet. Take care. That is Larry Wood, author of The Week, The Bigamy and Bloodshed Scandal of Emma Malloy and the Murder of Sarah Graham. Of course, obviously sponsored by our friends at ABC Books on North Glenstone.